When Thomas Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century became a global phenomenon in 2014, it accomplished something remarkable. It transformed dense economic history into a cultural touchstone. What made this 700-page, data-driven tome capture worldwide attention? Piketty had identified capitalism's fundamental flaw. Left unchecked, it naturally produces ever-increasing inequality. At the heart of this insight lies a deceptively simple formula, R greater than G. When returns on capital exceed economic growth, wealth inevitably concentrates. This isn't abstract theory, it's the mathematical reality that created the stark class divisions of 19th century Europe, where inheritance determined destiny and work alone could never produce financial security. Think of Jane Austen's world, where a comfortable life required passive income no professional salary could match. After a brief 20th century interruption caused by world wars and progressive taxation, we're now watching this force reassert itself with troubling speed. Wealth naturally concentrates unless redirected. Pre-World War Europe saw the richest 10% owning about 90% of assets, with the top 1% controlling 50 to 60%. Piketty's shocks of 1914-1945, two world wars, the Great Depression, and revolutionary policies fundamentally altered this distribution. From 1950 to 1980, capitalism achieved balance through progressive taxation, reaching 90% at highest brackets, strict financial regulation, powerful unions, and dramatic middle-class expansion, creating capitalism's most equitable period. Since the 1980s, we've witnessed a dramatic reversal. Tax cuts, deregulation, and weakened labor protections have allowed wealth to reconcentrate, with the top 1% share approaching pre-World War levels. The mid-century equality wasn't capitalism's natural evolution, but an exception created through deliberate policies we've since dismantled. Since 1980, the top 1% share of national income has more than doubled in America, creating what Piketty calls supermanagers, executives earning 100, 200 times average wages, compared to just 20, 30 times in Europe and Japan. This divergence isn't explained by productivity or education, as all developed economies have similar technologies and skill distributions. The real cause is institutional and political. When top tax rates exceeded 80%, 1940s, 1970s, executives had little incentive to demand enormous compensation. Once rates fell to 30-40%, the calculus changed dramatically. Evidence contradicts claims that these salaries reflect performance. Studies show executive pay rises most with luck factors beyond their control. Countries cutting top tax rates saw the largest increases in top incomes without corresponding productivity gains. With lower taxes, executives simply leverage their bargaining power for higher compensation. This creates a self-reinforcing cycle. As executives accumulate wealth, they gain political influence to preserve their advantages, resulting in a system increasingly designed to benefit those at the top, far from the meritocratic ideal supposedly justifying such extreme disparities. Inherited wealth is dramatically reshaping opportunity. In the 19th century, inheritance represented 20-25% of national income annually, collapsed to 4-5% after the World Wars, then rebounded to 15% by 2010. For those born in the 1970s, 1980s, inheritance will represent roughly the same proportion of lifetime resources as it did for 19th century generations. This shift affects young professionals in expensive cities most visibly. Despite good salaries, they cannot afford homes in desirable neighborhoods, properties increasingly acquired by those with inherited wealth or investment firms. Even high-earning professionals with disciplined saving habits can't compete with fortunes compounded across generations. Life strategies are changing in response. The post-war period represented a golden age of social mobility, where success primarily depended on education and work. Now, inheritance and marriage increasingly determine outcomes, returning to a world where family wealth overshadows individual achievement. This transformation threatens social cohesion. How can we maintain belief in meritocracy when inherited advantages increasingly determine success? How do we justify extreme inequality when it reflects not contribution but accident of birth? These questions strike at democratic capitalism's legitimacy. Have you ever wondered why wealth accumulates faster at the top? The data shows a clear pattern. The largest fortunes grow faster than average wealth. While global wealth per capita increased about 2.1% annually between 1987-2013, fortunes on the Forbes billionaire list grew at 6-7%. This demonstrates what Piketty calls divergent force, the tendency for wealth inequality to increase unless counterbalanced. Three factors drive this divergence: economies of scale and portfolio management. Harvard's endowment achieves 10% returns versus middle-class savers' 3-4%, wealthy investors' ability to take greater risks, and sophisticated tax strategies and exclusive investment opportunities available only to the ultra-wealthy. History confirms this pattern. The Belle Époque period, 1871-1914, saw extreme wealth concentration during modest growth, while post-war boom years, 1945-1975, saw greater equality alongside high growth. As global growth slows in the coming century, wealth concentration will likely accelerate unless deliberately counteracted. This creates a mathematical reality where R greater than G becomes increasingly powerful. Without intervention, wealth inequality doesn't stabilize. It expands until reaching the political breaking point. What can be done about these troubling trends? Piketty proposes a progressive global tax on capital, an annual levy on net wealth starting at modest rates, 0.1-0.5% for fortunes of a few million, and increasing to 5-10% for billionaires. This approach offers key advantages over alternatives. Unlike income taxes, which the ultra-wealthy easily avoid, a capital tax effectively reaches wealth that generates little taxable income. Unlike inflation, which redistributes chaotically, it can be precisely calibrated to reduce inequality while preserving economic dynamism. The primary purpose isn't revenue generation, but regulation, creating a systematic brake on unlimited wealth concentration. Such a tax would generate financial transparency, forcing hidden wealth into the open and enabling democratic debate about distribution. While acknowledging the proposal's utopian aspects, Piketty suggests starting with regional cooperation in areas like the European Union. Without such measures, countries will likely retreat into nationalism and protectionism, policies both ineffective at addressing inequality and potentially dangerous for global stability. The choice isn't between unfettered capitalism and state control, but between democratic capitalism benefiting the many and oligarchic systems serving only the few. Understanding wealth's historical dynamics gives us the knowledge to build more just economic institutions. Without significant policy changes, the 21st century risks combining 19th century wealth inequality with unprecedented income disparities between supermanagers and ordinary workers. This new patrimonial capitalism threatens democracy through concentrated influence over politics, media, and culture. Growing inheritance undermines meritocratic ideals essential to democratic legitimacy, while internationalized wealth makes reform harder for nation-states. Yet, there's reason for optimism. Markets aren't natural phenomena, but social constructions dependent on legal frameworks determined through political processes. By recognizing inequality as a political choice rather than economic inevitability, we reclaim power to shape our economic future. The path forward requires both intellectual clarity about the mathematical forces driving inequality and political courage to counteract them. The alternative is a continued slide toward oligarchy. The question isn't whether we can afford to act, but whether we can afford not to. Our answer will determine whether the 21st century becomes an era of democratic renewal or the triumph of capital over democracy.